So here we are. We're going to have a message today on being a peacemaker. The main reason this verse hit me so hard was because I have never seen in my lifetime, I'm 75 years old, so I've seen a lot of life, I've never seen so much division in our nation. And maybe you've noticed that too. Politically, the far left couldn't be more hateful toward conservatives. And I'm sure, you know, there's some I got it right here. Goes both ways, but I just see it so much more the other way, right? The hatred of the far left toward the right, toward conservatives. And then you flick on the mainstream media, and what do you get? You know, it's just like 24/7 of spewing out hatred towards conservatives, and especially President Trump. Have you ever heard any time in history where the mainstream media has hated a president so much and show it so obviously? So that's why blessed be the peacemakers. But we have a chore ahead of us. Now, I don't plan on getting on a political soapbox today, right? I would be tempted to do that, but I don't want to do that. And however, you know, I have to admit that I am very conservative, biblically, obviously, and also politically, because that's where the Bible leads me to that position. And I would think just the opposite, you know, the Bible would steer away from something that's radically left, as we see today. I mean, just in the last week, can you imagine that a couple states have voted to take the life of an infant already born on the table, and then they're deciding, let's see, should we kill this thing or keep it alive? It just, I mean, can't even believe where that leads you. So I must say that I am very conservative biblically and politically because that's where it leads me to. So trying to be a peacemaker politically is a very hard task, right? I mean, I would say raise your hands if you have found the solution to that. But that's just one area of our life where we need to be peacemakers, right? Where we have to find reconciliation. Truth is, being a peacemaker is hard in almost every aspect of life. That's because if you're going to serve as a peacemaker, you're trying to bring two opposing parties together, right? Trying to bring about reconciliation, maybe between you and somebody else, maybe between two others that you know and love, and you're trying to bring about reconciliation. So it's really hard. And I thought, you know, this starts right with the family, doesn't it? In a lot of families, and the divorce rate indicates, right, and the fact of living together, that's because, you know, it's kind of a test and it doesn't work out. Or if you get married, you know, just so many divorces around, there's a lack of peace. There's a lack of reconciliation between husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, boss and employees, teachers and students, conservatives and liberal, like we've seen already politically, even among believers in the assembly. And that's why it makes it so hard, because it branches out into every aspect of life. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to see that God's Word gives a lot of guidance, gives principles on being peacemakers. And because He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, that's His desire for us. His desire is that each and every one of us be a peacemaker, because He wants to bless us. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, you might recall when I gave those thoughts of the breaking bread, I had certain verses. I'm going to repeat some of those verses. We're going to be looking at peace with God first. Okay, before we can become peacemakers, that is, as believers, where we try to establish reconciliation between two opposing parties, we have to have peace with God. So there's a difference between peace with God, that's what a sinner needs, coming to a holy God, needs peace with God, needs to be reconciled to God. As believers, we can enjoy the peace of God, and we'll read of those. So I want to repeat some of these verses, and I'm going to be moving along pretty quickly, try to finish by 12:30. And if you can keep up with me, last time we had a sword drill this morning, and we were pretty slow. Yeah. So if you can't keep up with me, just take a note, or I can see Corey back there. He's recording this, so you can get on your computers and whatever you use, and you can go to the chapel website and get all these references and study it out. Colossians 1:19-22. And then if you're going to follow me, we'll be going to Romans chapter 5, read a couple of verses there. But as I read these verses, be looking for the terms peace, peaceful, be at peace, reconciliation, reconciled, and so forth. It's just jammed full of these. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then go on to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And this shows us how we can have peace with God. How do we get that peace? Obviously, a sinner, somebody who is separated from God because of his sins, he has to be reconciled to God if he is ever going to be justified. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you have repented of your sins, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and received him into your heart as your own personal Savior and Lord, then you have been justified, reconciled, and you now have peace with God. And then notice Romans 5:10, just down a little bit. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's by his resurrection life. Christ died for his sins, was buried, rose again the third day. He's alive. He's well. He was glorified and seated at the right hand of God. And so we see that we much more shall be saved by his resurrection life. Somebody said, if his death had such power to save us, how much more will his present life have power to keep us? That's wonder. Power to save us, power to keep us as well. And so the Lord Jesus first had to become the peacemaker between the holy God and the sinner, that be us. And until the sinner has peace with God through faith in the person and work of Christ, he can't be blessed by becoming a peacemaker to work with others and bring reconciliation with them. So the question is, do you have peace with God? That's the question. I'm looking around, and I can't see anybody that I can see that doesn't have peace with, but you never know. Right? You just never know. So that's the question here. And if not, if you know you've never really, even though you've been coming here since you were a kid, if you know that you really don't have peace with God, I want to talk to you. There are others too be willing to talk to you about that need of being reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to spend the rest of the time of the message to help us as believers to become the peacemakers that God wants us to be. That the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. And so believers in Christ not only have peace with God, but they can enjoy the peace of God in their daily lives. And as we learn from Matthew 5:9, he wants us to be peacemakers. That's one of the things he wants us to become if we haven't gotten there yet. Now, the Lord Jesus gives us his peace, so that we can enjoy it and pass it on to others. Listen to these two verses in John. 1 John 14:27, it says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then John 16:33, it's his peace that he gives to us. And he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then moving on, what the Apostle Paul does is he gives us the secret of peace, the peace of God in our own lives. Listen to these verses in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, then also verse 9. The secret of maintaining the peace of God in our lives. It says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes, I'd say, human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. The God of peace will be with you. So as long as you're struggling in your own life with worry and anxiety, then you're not going to be able to be a peacemaker with others, right? Now, there are many principles, and we're going to be going through 8 principles that teach us how to. Say, well, how do I become a peacemaker? What do I have to do? What kind of a person do I have to be a peacemaker? And I have 8 of them, and hopefully we can get through them. They're all helpful, and there's going to be a lot of stuff, right? Just try to capture it, and be looking for areas where you need help, right? You're going to be a peacemaker. You might find that 6 out of the 8 and say, I'm okay. But there might be 1 or 2 where you say, I got to work on that. So as we go through these, you know, you be thinking, you be praying, you know, Lord, help me to see my fault in this area. Lord, bless me because I'm doing some of these things. But first of all, being peacemakers depends on our willingness to live peaceably with all men. And that's exactly what Romans 12:8 says. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, there are several things there we need to kind of pick apart here. It says, as much as depends on you. What does that mean? That means that you have to take the initiative, right? You have to take the initiative to be the peacemaker and to bring about peace where there's enmity. Okay, where there are differences so great that people separate. You've got to find ways to bring them together. But it depends on you. Much as it depends on you. So it is our responsibility. Whether we've been offended, somebody's offended us, it's our responsibility as much as it depends on us. Then it says with all men. And it's not talking about male only. It's talking about everyone. Okay, all kinds of people. I put down a list of people that makes it pretty hard to bring about peace. First one was jerks. You know, there's a lot of them out there, right? A lot of jerks. Bullies. Far-left radicals. Christians of other persuasions. And we encounter people like this every day, right? So it's saying, as much as depends on you, be at peace, live at peace with all kinds of people. All of those that irritate us the most. Could say, be at peace, live peaceably with all men. But it does say, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you. So some people we know are going to be obstinate, and they don't even want to be reconciled. You know, you go say, you offended me, and they say, get out of here, I hate you. You know, so you took the initiative, you went to that brother or that sister, right? And you try to make things right, but they want nothing to do with it, nothing to do with you. And so all we can do is try, right? That's all we can do. And if it doesn't work, then we must remain kind and considerate to them. Remember what I read at the breaking of bread this morning in Matthew 5, 43 and 44? Love your enemies. Boy, that's contrary, isn't it, to our sinful nature? Love your enemies. You couldn't. I want to punch them out. Love your enemies. And then it went on. Bless those who curse you. What? Yeah, what it says. Do good to those who hate you. Huh? Yeah. Are you kidding? Is that what Jesus is teaching us? It's exactly what he's teaching us. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all kinds of people. Second principle, live peaceably with all men. Living peaceably with all men requires hard work. And try to do it. Okay, try to go out and be a peacemaker. It's going to be hard. It's going to require hard work. We must pursue it. Okay, I want to read three different verses and just be looking for the word pursue. And it's related to peace. First of all, Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Pursue. And then Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people. Again, all kinds of people. And holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Then finally, 1 Peter 3:11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Wow. You know, puts the bee on our back, right? It's up to us. We have to pursue. And to pursue means to seek or strive to attain some object or some desire. And to pursue peace means that we have to pursue it. We have to work hard at it. So whether someone has offended us or we have offended somebody else, I have to take the initiative, right? So say somebody has offended me. What do I do about that? Just let it hang fire? You know, do I just pass it off? Say, that's their problem, not mine. No, because in two passages, Matthew 5:23 and 24 and Matthew 18:15, it goes both ways. Whether you are the offender or whether you are the one being offended, it says you go. You pursue it. You pursue peace. You go to that other party, whether they offended you or you offended them. You take the initiative. You don't wait for them to take the first step. And I thought that offenses can go on for years, right? I mean, even people in assemblies, they won't even talk to each other. They come to the breaking bread, they come to the services, right? They come to the prayer meetings and so forth, but they got a grudge. Sister so-and-so back in 1943, that's when I was born, 1943, said this or that to me, and I'm never going to forgive her, ever. You know, so that could be going on. Could be going on in this assembly, I don't know, right? And so we have to pursue peace. Because it's hard work. Third principle, to be peacemakers, we have to make it our lifestyle by living it out in our daily lives. Okay? So it's not just like, well, I don't feel like it today, or I'm never going to do this or that. I'm not going to try to get reconciled. No, it has to be our lifestyle. It has to be something that we do every day, that we think about. Especially, I mean, if there's something going on, we should confess it, and then we should go to that person, whether we're in the wrong or they're in the wrong, and try to make peace, make reconciliation. So, live it out. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And so, if we live out our inner peace, others will take notice of it. In fact, that inner peace that is lived out, right, is going to be obvious to others. When you think about it, what is our testimony? It's what we do that can be seen, what we say that can be heard, right? Those two things, what we do, what we say. That's our testimony. That's what people know of us. They see us, they hear us, they observe and so forth. And so we need to live it out. We need to live it out. And others who need forgiveness and reconciliation will seek out our counsel. Right? They'll see that we are a person of peace. They'll see that we make peace with others. We take the initiative. We pursue it. And when they're in a struggle, right, maybe with somebody else, they come and seek our counsel because we have that testimony of being a person of peace. Principle 4, to be successful peacemakers, certain traits have to be evident in our lives. And we've already covered some of them, but there's some verses here that just have like four or five different things that make for being a peacemaker. And this is Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Now, Skip has been talking about walking worthy with the Lord in the book of Colossians. Well, here it is in the book of Ephesians as well. I beseech you to walk worthy of the Lord, calling with which you've been called. And here are the points, the traits that we should be following. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there are five things there that aid us, that help us, that should be traits in our life if we're going to be peacemakers with others. Now let's go over each one of them. It says, first of all, with all lowliness. Lowliness makes us conscious of our nothingness, right? And enables us to esteem others better than ourselves. Those are two things that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. It's the opposite of conceit and arrogance. And then gentleness. Gentleness, and I took this out of a commentary or something, but refers to that which is mild-spirited and self-controlled. When Jesus said, blessed are the meek person is one who is mild-spirited and self-controlled. Not a pushover, self-controlled. And then with long-suffering, right? Long-suffering. This is the attitude that submits, first of all, to God's dealings with us, right? And then also to man's unkindness without retaliation. We're long-suffering. We put up with a lot, right? And we're peacemakers. And then it says, bearing with one another in love. And that is making allowance for the faults and the failures of others. I mean, let's face it, we have differing personalities. We have differing abilities, differing temperaments. In one local church, you can just have a variety of people that are different than we are. Right? So we have to bear with one another in love, it says. So it's not a question of maintaining a facade of courtesy while inwardly seething with resentment. It means positive love to those who irritate us, those who disturb us, those who embarrass us. So humility, gentleness, and patience are reflected in a forbearing love for others that is continuous and unconditional. Then it says, endeavoring, and of course, that's pursuing, right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I was reading several commentaries, and William MacDonald had something that was well worth quoting here. It says, a common reaction when differences arise is to divide and start another party. I can remember living in Texas. We had a chapel library just like we do have here. And the chapel, the librarian was an old lady. She's probably about my age now. But I was young. She was old. And 75, that's old. And I can remember looking through the books, and I found one that said, History of the Brethren. And she looked over my shoulder and said, oh, you don't want to read that. I said, that's just a history of splits. Well, being a young man, I said, well, I'm going to read it anyway. So I read it, and guess what? History of splits. That's when people have differences, they just part. So I can't break bread with these people. I'm out of here. And but he said, but the spiritual reaction should be this, in essentials, unity. In doubtful questions, liberty, but in all things, charity, love. I thought, that's a good principle. Well, we're going to be peacemakers, we have to do that. We have to allow for certain things. It's not an essential, but it's a questionable thing. Well, a lot of opinions, you know, a lot of commentators say different things. Okay, we should have liberty in that. And then charity above all things. He went on to say that there is enough of the flesh in every one of us to wreck any local church or any work of God. Imagine that. It's something we need to war against, isn't it? That evil flesh that just wants to divide and separate. It says, therefore, we must submerge our own petty personal whims and attitudes and work together in peace for the glory of God and for the common good. Okay, the fifth principle. Be peacemakers. The peace of God must rule in our hearts. Listen to Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So there's two things there. First of all, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And rule, this word, I would have to say in the original, means to act as an arbiter in games. And you know how that goes. Remember that infamous call against the who? Against the saints. Yeah, of all things, the saints. And, you know, you could play it over and over again and say, that was a lousy call. That was interference. If I've ever seen interference, well, there was arbiter made a wrong call. But we shouldn't make wrong calls. We should allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Act as an umpire, as a referee in our hearts. So if we doubt something, we should ask ourselves one of two questions. Does it make for peace? I'm thinking about something. What should I do? What should I do? So first of all, does it make for peace? Second, or would I have peace in my heart if I went ahead and did it anyway? You know, so we have to ask a question that. We have to ask ourselves that question. And then it ends up by saying, be thankful. Be thankful. Being thankful is one of the keys of being a peacemaker, at making peace with others. Because think about this, an unthankful person is selfish, discontented, and usually at odds with others. So the point is to be thankful as well. Now the sixth principle. We need to steer clear of politics when speaking with those of a liberal bent, right? Far left persuasion. We need to steer clear of politics. Titus 3:1-2 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And of course, that would be all those politicians that we can't stand. But we learn something here. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but far-left politicians and their mouthpiece called mainstream media can upset me more than almost anything else. Right? That's a fact. And I find myself watching Fox News every day and getting upset with politicians, right? And with the mainstream media. But we have some guidelines here. And I would say that the hardest thing of all is not to speak evil of people, right? We should stick with policies. What are their policies? We can agree or disagree with policies, but it's so easy to point the bony finger. Say, I can't stand you, John Doe or Jane Doe. You are a lousy politician. You know, I mean, we can just really go off the deep end in mentioning names. So let's remember, stick with policies. Have you ever thought of, you know, we think sometimes of people as our enemies. People are not our enemies. They're the victim of the enemies. So rather than just going off the rail and railing at the people we can't stand, you know, we have to think they're victims of the enemy. We need to lead them to Christ. And the point is that if we ever hope to when those holding these radical political positions, then we have to be peaceable and gentle with them, right? I thought of the Lord Jesus. He was confronted by the politicians of his day, by the religious leaders and so forth, but he didn't argue politics with them, but rather he lived a holy life before them and he taught them the truth. I think that's what we need to do as well when it comes to politics. In all our dealings as peacemakers, We really need wisdom from above. And that's principle number 7. I want to read James 3:16-18. Here's what it says. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow, that's a great verse, isn't it, for our subject? So without God's wisdom, we'll likely complicate our dealings with those with whom we are trying to make peace, try to bring to Christ. So envy says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Envy and self-seeking are two of the biggest destroyers of peace. Webster defines envy as a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck. You know, so we're sitting there looking at, why did they get that? Why can't I get some of what they have? Why can't I have the abilities they have, the money, or just good luck? Why can't I strike it rich on the lottery, and so forth? And obviously, envious people are self-seekers and are certainly not interested in seeking peace or reconciliation with the people that they envy. Now, on the other hand, when our wisdom comes from above, it is from God, right? That which is from above is from God. It's first of all pure. Pure meaning free from defilement, bitterness, envy, and selfish behavior completely corrupt a person. And then it's peaceable, describing the spirit of tranquility and calmness. It's gentle, a character trait of sweet reasonableness, willing to yield. For believers, it means that, first of all, we yield to God, right, in our lives, to His standards, not ours. And making peace with others means being conciliatory, approachable, open to reason, ready to give in when the truth requires it. It's just the opposite of being obstinate and adamant, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. And that's one of the things that just breaks people up, right? Different races, different political bents, just so many things that split us up because we're partial. And we need to get away from partiality if we're ever going to be a peacemaker. And it says without hypocrisy. It means that true wisdom is sincere. So those are the things that we need to live out in our lives. And then finally, the final principle is being a peacemaker does not mean that we should not speak the truth, even though we may offend somebody, right? So it doesn't mean that. And the main thing is the gospel, right? The main thing is the gospel. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we can't get away from that. But what we can do is we can speak the truth in love, right? That's something we sometimes forget about. And when we're giving the gospel to somebody, say, you filthy sinner, you need to repent or else. You know, how would that go over? How would that be for making peace with a sinner and trying to bring them to Christ? No. Like the four spiritual laws, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. What a different approach, right? And then you go on to bring them the gospel. And they'll probably listen. They may not agree finally, but they will listen. So let's bring all this to a conclusion. Your heads are probably exploding, and I got 1 minute to finish up here because I poured a lot of stuff into your head this morning. But like I said at the beginning, you know, look for the things where you need to take action, right? Where you need to take the initiative. So the Lord Jesus became our peacemaker by dying on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, as believers, we learn that we can enjoy the peace of God daily in our lives. He gives us a special blessing when we become peacemakers. He calls us the sons of God. Now, we've seen that being a peacemaker is not easy. It takes hard work, and we have to pursue it. We have to live it out in our daily lives so that it is part of our testament, something that people can see, and it will draw them to us if they need to be reconciled. It's not a trait that our sin nature produces. So I want you to take the message seriously. Maybe you're holding grudges. Right? I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. But maybe you're holding grudges and have not settled long-standing quarrels. Maybe you offended somebody, but you're not willing to settle that account with them. If so, when you read that Matthew account, Matthew 5:23-24, if so, if you've been holding these grudges, you've offended somebody, you can't be blessed by the Lord until you make it right. So take the initiative, make it right with that one you offended or the offended you. So while I'm praying, I want you to confess to the Lord any known issues you have with somebody else, right? You got to make it right. The Lord Jesus says, if when you take your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled. Make it right. Indicating that he can't bless you until you do. So that's very serious business. Very serious business. So just be thinking about that as I pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you, through your Son, became our peacemaker. The Lord Jesus himself is our peacemaker between you, the Holy God, and us, the sinners. Thank you so much that he was willing to become the peacemaker on our behalf. Pray, dear Father, if there are any that have a grudge or holding something against somebody else, pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their minds and hearts and that they will take the steps necessary to go to that one and make things right, or at least to try, as depends on us, if it is possible, live at peace with all. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.